Morning to Philippians chapter 1. Philippians chapter 1 and our ongoing study of the book of Philippians and how we can learn how to rejoice in the Lord always. And what I am preaching on today will be one that will be easy for us in many senses to see how we can joy and rejoice in the Lord always. We are looking at our confident expectation of heaven. For the Christian, we look around us and we notice everything else everyone's noticing. The trouble, the turmoil, how our country is in disarray and dysfunctional. And we don't see Christ in too many places. In fact, the few places we see him, they're taking him away. But at the same time, as a Christian, we know that there's a heaven coming, a new heaven and a new earth that's going to not know any type of discord. It's not going to know war. It's going to be a nation based upon the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And so as a Christian, we look forward to that. But I want us to look at this a little bit differently this morning. I want us to look forward also to a reason for not going to heaven and rejoice in that. We look at anticipate, and we'll talk about that as part of the message, about the joy and anticipation to going to heaven, but I also want us to find a reason not to go to heaven. I've got your attention a little bit now. Let's consider the scriptures together by beginning with a word of prayer. Dear Father, we come to you in the name of the Lord Jesus Christ. And we are so delighted by Paul and his writing here to the church of Philippi. And we know that you said all these things were written for our learning, upon whom the ends of the earth have come. So we understand that while you had it intended for this church in Philippi to reach a specific need in their church by an author they knew really well personally, you also have it intended for us today. And you have it intended that this preacher would bring forth the truth for this body that would help us today. And so I pray you'd help us as we look at your word. May this message be based solely on your word. And may your word be magnified even throughout this service. And may hearts, both those who believe and those who not, be drawn to it and give attention to it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Again, the Apostle Paul is writing back to a church that he had helped establish on one of his missionary journeys. And Paul is writing back to them to be a help to them and really giving them reasons to rejoice in the Lord always. A phrase that I have personally taken from chapter 4 and verse number 4, rejoice in the Lord always. And again, I say rejoice. But at times, Paul had to learn whatsoever state he was in, wherewith to be content. So that rejoicing is something sometimes we have to learn. And we found out last week that even though the Apostle Paul was in prison, not because he had done anything illegal, but because he was preaching the name of Christ, he was trying to comfort this church that they would not become really bothered by the fact that he was in prison, thinking, oh, this is horrible news. But no, he wanted them to see beyond that. He found something to rejoice in. And one of the things that he found to rejoice in was this, that there were people he was able to witness to that were on the inside, so to speak. They were part of that Roman praetorium, and he was able to reach them with the gospel. People we may have never been able to reach otherwise. He found another reason to rejoice, the fact that the Christians in that community where he was were not disheartened and terrified because Paul was in prison, but they actually became more bold. They were emboldened by it, and they are now witnessing people on the outside and trying to show them Christ. So don't we understand the principle, all things work together for for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to his purpose. I want us to consider two things, though, from this passage. We're going to now pick it up in verse number 20 and take it down to verse number 26 this morning. And I want us to see, first of all, that you can have assurance and, more than that, anticipation. You can have today assurance that you are saved and on your way to heaven. But you can even have something more than that, and that's not only having an assurance, but having an anticipation to going to heaven. The Apostle Paul, as you read his writings, it was obvious that he was enjoying doing what he was doing. He was preaching the gospel. He was impacting people for the cause of Christ. But as you read his writings, it's also really clear that he couldn't wait to go to heaven either. And in fact, that's really going to come out in this message here today, from this passage here today. He was anticipating actually that time in which he would pass away. He wasn't fearing death. He wasn't actually fleeing for the sake of the ministry, but at the same time, he wasn't trying to get out of it either. He was looking forward to one day going to heaven. Nero was the ruler of Rome at the time, and really it was close to that time when Nero would announce what his judgment was upon the Apostle Paul. He was in prison, and he was expecting Nero to bring forth a judgment of death for Paul. And so here's Paul, and he's kind of caught between two things. Let's pick it up and looking at verse number 21 for a moment. Look what he says about, I termed it this way in my thoughts. He had a certainty about an uncertain future. His certainty was, no matter what happened in the days to come, which he didn't know, his certainty was, I'm going to go to heaven ultimately. Look what he says in verse number 21. For me to live is Christ, and to die is what? He says, you know what? I would profit by dying. Now, I am sure there are some here that are in their 70s, maybe. Yeah, I know. There's some here in their 80s. And as you look at life and what it took to get up and get going this morning, you say, boy, I can't wait to go to heaven. And some of that, you know, we just look at the struggle of life and the difficulty of these golden years. And we say, wow, you know what? For me to live is Christ, but it would be better to go to heaven. But I have trouble seeing very many probably below those golden years that would say, boy, I can't wait. I wish it would happen today. You know, there's a lot of times we really enjoy parts of life. And whether it be with family, whether it be with your mate, whether it be with children, whether it be where you are in ministry, job related, whatever, there are parts of this world that we like and we come adjusted to. But Paul says, you know what? For me to live is Christ. I realize living, I'm going to give my life for Christ, but there'd be something better. To die would be gain. Look at the end of verse number 23, or let's consider verse 23, but emphasizing the other. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart. So again, notice my first point. You can have assurance, and more than that, anticipation. Paul's saying dying is gain. Paul is saying I have a desire to depart, to be with Christ, which is what? Far better. It's not just a better place. It's a far better place. And even that is holding it back. When we understand this, Paul is saying, not only do I have assurance that I'm going to heaven, I am anticipating it. It would be gain for me. I'm desiring to part. It would be far better for me to live this life and to go into the next life. I want you to understand, dear friend, maybe you haven't grown up in Christianity, maybe you haven't grown up in Bible preaching churches or whatever it may be. There is a lot of difference between the world saying, I hope, versus the Christians say, talk about our hope. You know, it's a hope so in the world, it's a no so for the Christian. The world says, I hope to. And this is what the world may say when you knock on their door, or you may give them a track and talk to them a little bit about the Lord, and you might say, are you going to heaven someday? And their response might be, I hope so. I sure hope so. Well, I know if you would ask me, I'd say, I know so. I have what the Bible calls hope. But the Bible explains it as a confident expectation. How many of you have ever heard that before? The Bible word for hope means a confident expectation. You know where we get that? Here's one of the places. Look right here in a text of Scripture that we have here before us. Look at verse 20. According to my earnest expectation and my hope. There it is. He says, I've got this earnest expectation. This is my hope. So it's not a, I hope so. I hope I'm going to heaven. It's a no so. Let me ask you, are you that confident? Do you know for sure that if you were to pass today, that you would pass from this life to the next life instead of passing from this life and passing unto death? You see, for the Christian, it's to be absent from the body is to be what, Christian? Present with the Lord. And how long shall that be? And so shall we ever be with the Lord. See, that's the difference for those who are in Christ. It's not, I hope I'm going to heaven. I hope I've done enough good things. Let me ask you, how many good things do you have to do? You say, well, you know, I have to have my good outweigh my bad. And I've talked about this. It's been a long time since I've talked about this. Well, how much does bad weigh and how much does good weigh? I mean, if you do one bad thing, do you have to do an equally weighted good thing? You say, wow, this is getting confusing, preacher. That's why you have no peace. Because you don't know, does, you know, if you stole something. Well, if you were to give me a half a gallon of ice cream, that sounds pretty good right now. Would that outweigh stealing? Would the giving and would ice cream be, if you stole $100 and gave me a box of ice cream, is that equal? Is that going to get you to heaven? You see, dear friend, you say, well, I don't know. Well, how many good things do you have to do in order to outweigh one bad thing? You see, dear friend, I love about the Word of God teaches us about salvation. Jesus paid it all. All to Him I owe. It is finished, loud he cried. You see, dear friend, it isn't what we do, it's what He's done. And Paul was confidently expecting to go to heaven. You know, Paul used to be a bad guy. Can I say it that way? Just for the sake of understanding. Paul used to be a bad guy. In fact, he was putting men and women that were preaching the gospel and sharing the testimony of Christ. He was helping to put them in prison. Well, why does he get to go to heaven if for years he was actually, what history has recorded, Paul was actually partially responsible for the death of nearly 2,000 Christians. Think about that. So if he's going to get to heaven, how much good does he have to do in order to outweigh being responsible for the death of 2,000 Christians? Boy, aren't you glad it didn't rely upon him? Amen. Paul met the Lord. The Lord wanted him. And the Lord said, why do you keep kicking against the pricks? Lord, what wilt thou have me to do? He gave his life to the Lord, and in that moment, God forgave him the sin. And now, he's not afraid. He's not thinking, oh man, I wonder if I've done enough good to outweigh my bad. I don't want to die. I'm not sure that I'm a good enough person. I'm not sure God is going to forgive me for killing all those Christians. I'm not sure. No, it wasn't that at all. He knew that his going to heaven was based upon what Christ had done for him. And he had trusted in that alone to get him to heaven. And so he has now this earnest expectation and a hope that in nothing I shall be ashamed, but that with all boldness, verse number 20, as always, so now also Christ shall be magnified in my body, whether it be by life or by death. Look at verse 23. For I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far. See, some people say you can't ever know for sure. Paul sure knew for sure. Yeah, Paul sure knew for sure. He says, I know this. If I depart, I'm going to be with Christ, which is far better. Amen. Then look what he says in verse number 25. And having this confidence, I know. Again, that's why we as Christians call a biblical hope a confident expectation. Because Paul was confidently expecting the moment he closed his eyes in death, he would awaken his eyes to the righteousness of Christ. And that I shall abide and continue with you all for the furtherance of joy of faith and the furtherance of joy and faith. And so what Paul is doing is he says, you know what? I'm ready. I'm ready to go. Let me ask you, dear friend, are you ready? Meaning, have you come to this reality? There's not enough I can do to outweigh my bad. I have to be forgiven of my sins. I don't pay it off. I ask for it to be forgiven. And in that we become a child of God, and He takes away our sin and places upon our account the righteousness of His Son, and we call that justification. We have been justified through faith in the blood of the Lord Jesus Christ. By the way, moms, if we make an application here, that is the most important thing you can teach your children. The most important thing is not to teach them to be a great business person. The most important thing is not to teach them how to be a great mom at the home. Most important thing that you can teach a child, first of all, is how they can know Jesus Christ as Lord and Savior. I know as we raised our children, we didn't give them several options. We didn't say, well, try this. If that doesn't work, try this. If that doesn't work, try Jesus. No, we told them the Lord Jesus Christ will forgive them of their sins. And one by one, at the appropriate time and age, and as God dealt with their heart, we praise the Lord, every one of our children came to Christ. Dear moms, invest in your children, but most of all, invest in them spiritually for the Lord. So first of all, you can have assurance, and more than that, you can have anticipation. Paul wasn't just assured he was going to heaven, he was anticipating it. Secondly, you can have security, but more than that, you can have purpose. You can have security, that's salvation. But more than that, you can have purpose, and that's what is glorifying God. There is a difference between having assurance you're going to heaven and having a purpose of still being here on earth. Why is it sometimes as we talk, and I was just talking to someone the other day, a friend of theirs has just turned 100 and not in good health. And one of her questions is why doesn't the Lord just take me home? Now, why does a person ask a question like that? Well, how they look at it and through their eyes, their purpose is over. I can't do much anymore. I can't get out. I can't get about. I can't witness. I can't minister to people. My purpose is gone in their eyes. And by the way, dear friend, sometimes we don't understand the course of life. We have to understand if the Lord still, like this person, gives them a strong mind, they can still bear one another's burdens and so fulfill the law of Christ. They can still be a prayer warrior and praying for people and upholding them in prayer. But sometimes what happens is we no longer see our purpose, so we no longer want to be here. Understand? Paul's saying, you know what? I really want to leave, but I still have a purpose for being here. Remember I kind of caught you off guard with the title of the message this morning. Looking for reasons not to go to heaven. Well, Paul had some reasons. He says, you know what? For me, I really want to go. But for others, I really ought to stay. You know, I think sometimes as we get older, we anticipate it more. And I have to admit, if we sit down and evaluate it somewhat, it is pretty selfish. We don't want the pain. We don't want the discomfort. We don't want to lose our independence. We don't want to be put into a home. We don't want to. And we kind of go through the list. And because of that, we say, boy, I just want to go home. But really, if we evaluate it real carefully and closely, it's a lot of selfishness in those desires. Paul says, you know what? I really desire to depart. It'd be far better. Personally, it'd be gain. But he says, but I actually still have purpose. In fact, let's look at that a little bit. Because what we have to do, if as a Christian, we have to evaluate, do I really have purpose for being here? Am I fulfilling God's will? Am I glorifying Him while here? Am I influencing souls for Christ? Am I helping to build the body? Or am I, as a Christian, just going through the motions? I mean, it's almost like the unsaved world. I really don't have a purpose. I'm not witnessing to anyone. I'm not encouraging anyone in the faith. I'm not teaching any classes. I'm not handing out any tracts. I'm just going through life waiting for God to take me. You know what? As a Christian, maybe that's why you don't have peace in your life. Because you're just waiting for heaven. And you're just going through the motions here on earth. Paul says, you know, I'd really like to go, but I've got some things to do here before I leave. Let's look at that a little closely. Let's look at it right here in the Scriptures. Begin with verse number 21. And to kind of work our way through it so we see the flowing thoughts that Paul has. For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain. So he's saying, as long as I'm living, I'm going to live for Christ. So that's one of the things that you can ask yourself. Am I really living for Christ? Let's back it up a week. Okay, what did I do this past Monday that I did for Christ? What did I do Tuesday? And if you can't remember that back as far, let's go to yesterday. What did I do yesterday that was for Christ? Is your living for Christ? Paul says, as I'm looking at it, as long as I'm living for Christ. To die would be gain. Verse 22, but if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor. And I looked at that. It's actually a Greek idiom, which means this is all worthwhile. It will be what? Worth it all when we see Christ. Paul, in a sense, would pen that type of a song right here. But if I live in the flesh, this is the fruit of my labor, this is all worthwhile, yet what I shall choose, I'm not sure, I would not. He said, boy, when it comes down to it, I'm not sure which I'd rather do, stay here and live for Christ, or go ahead and depart, which would be far better. For I'm in a strait betwixt two. Which means I'm hemmed in. We might say between a rock and a hard place. That's kind of what it means in our modern day vernacular. I'm really hemmed in here. I'm in a strait betwixt two, having a desire to depart and to be with Christ, which is far better. Nevertheless, verse 24, to abide in the flesh is more needful for you. Let me ask you, are you living for Christ? Are you ministering to others? You say, well, preacher, I'd really like to go to heaven, but I still want to give some more to Christ. And I'm discipling, and I'm witnessing too, and I'm mentoring so-and-so, and I'm teaching this class. Man, I'd hate to give up that class by going to heaven. You see, sometimes we aren't living our fullest here. And so, sure, heaven would be an easy out. But Paul says, you know what? I've actually got something to think about here because I'm investing my life in others. And Paul says it this way, and I don't think he's being arrogant by saying it this way. He says, nevertheless, verse 24, to abide in the flesh is more needful. They need me because I'm ministering to them. By the way, I find it really interesting. Not only Paul is ministering to them, he's talking to Epaphroditus who would minister to them. He's talking to other preachers who would minister to them. He calls Timothy to minister to the people that are at Ephesus. So wherever he can't minister, he's concerned about people and sending people to go minister to them. So Paul says, you know what? I really want to go to heaven, but I've got some reasons not to go. And again, that's how I kind of want us to look at this passage and make application to our lives today. Is there a reason for us to stay? Oh yeah, man, I've got games coming up. A wedding. There's a wedding coming up. My child's wedding, my granddaughter's. Is that the reason to stay? Or is living for Christ and ministering to others our reason to stay? Look at verse 25. Again, this is what's dividing salvation and living for the Lord's glory. And having this confidence, I know that I shall abide and continue with you for your furtherance and joy of faith. He says, and this is why I know it's needful for you, for your furtherance. I want to mentor you. I want to disciple you. I want to help you to become a stronger Christian. And for your joy of faith, I want you to have the joy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Look at verse 26. That your rejoicing may be more abundant in Jesus Christ. So he says, you know what? I understand. I want to go to heaven. But I really think I could help you to become a more fervent Christian if I were to just stay here. So again, let's think about this. Paul said, wherefore we labor that whether present or absent, we may be accepted of him. 2 Corinthians 5:9. Again, in that passage, he kept saying, I'm confident I'm going to heaven. So what keeps me laboring when I'm confident about going to heaven? Why not just drift into heaven? Why not get saved and kick it into neutral? Can I drift all the way to heaven? So I don't want to do that. Because one day, I'm going to stand before the judgment seat of Christ. And I'm going to give account of what I've done, my works for the Lord. How am I going to explain being saved for 10 years and not doing anything for Christ? How am I going to explain being saved for 20 years and never leading a soul to Christ? How am I going to explain being saved for 25 years and never mentoring or discipling anyone? So again, as Christians, we have reason to rejoice. We're in Christ. I'm confident I'm going to heaven. I don't have to go through the rest of my life wondering and worried about what happens when I die. That's already taken care of. So now I can give the focus of my time and energy to serving the Lord and ministering to others. Again, as a Christian, sometimes the reason we don't have peace and we don't have the joy of the Lord is because we're just coasting. Just getting by. And Paul says, you know what? I've got all kind of things I'm doing here yet. And there's more things yet to be done. See, if we're not careful, we can make it all about us. Or we can make it about our Lord and others. If you were here when I preached on the beginning of this series, I talked about joy. Jesus, others, and you, and how that was Paul's motto, and actually used this verse or these verses as a revelation or an illustration of what Paul was talking about. Let me ask you, dear Christian, what are we doing for Christ? If to live is Christ, what can I do the rest of the day that would be living for Christ? What can I do tomorrow that I can look back at the end of the day before I pillow my head and say, boy, I did this for Christ today? I think that's one of the good reasons to pick up some tracks on the way out, right? Couldn't that be for Christ? Couldn't calling a Christian friend who maybe you don't see in the midst of the body today, couldn't calling a Christian friend to encourage them, couldn't that be for Christ? Couldn't mentoring someone, maybe it's your children, maybe it's mentoring them as you homeschool them, whatever it may be, but couldn't mentoring or discipling someone, couldn't we say, boy, I'm setting up to meet someone because I want to build a relationship with them so that I can share with them Christ. Wouldn't that be living for Christ? Again, I don't want us to walk out and think, I don't know what this looks like. I don't know how we do this. So what? What does that mean to me? I want us to understand there are things we can purposely do. I want you to know living for Christ is really purposeful. If you don't purpose to live for Him, you won't live for Him. And so let's think about it. Okay, let's think about our week upcoming. And it may be you're going to make a phone call this afternoon to meet with someone on Thursday because you want to live for Christ. It may be you send someone a text and say, hey, can I meet you for breakfast tomorrow morning or for lunch sometime? Or can we get it together a little bit? Or hey, I'm praying for you. And again, you're purposely living for Christ and ministering to others. Paul says, I know why I'm here. I'm here to further you and to increase your joy so that it can become more abundant. And so, let's look for reasons not to go to heaven. No, Lord, I can't wait to be with you. I can't wait when either your son comes back or the day that you take me home. But Lord, if you could put it off a little bit, I've got some more I want to do for you today. I've got someone else I want to reach. If I go to heaven, who's going to reach so-and-so? That's a purposeful Christian who's looking for a reason not to go to heaven. Lord, you're not saying, oh, I got a wedding coming up. Lord, I want to wait till we have children. Lord, I want to wait till so-and-so graduates. Lord, I want to... No, this is saying, Lord, I've got a reason to be here. And it's serving you and ministering to others. So if you can put it off a little longer, Lord, I'd like to finish my course. I'd like to one day hear, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Heads bowed, eyes closed, no one looking around.